Voters in Afghanistan went to the polls on Saturday, casting their ballots in a parliamentary election that had been delayed for 3 years. More than 2,500 candidates were in the running for just 250 seats. And the run-up to the election was extremely tense and deadly. Threats from the Taliban throughout the country heightened the danger of participating in these elections. At least 10 candidates, as well as dozens of their supporters, were killed in the months leading up to Saturday's vote. But the day of the election also saw heightened levels of violence. Although the exact number is unclear, targeted attacks led to more than 36 people dead on Saturday alone. Sikandar Kamani was reporting in Afghanistan over the weekend. He's a correspondent for the BBC based in Islamabad, Pakistan.
Well, there were dozens upon dozens of violent incidents over the past 2 days in Afghanistan, including a suicide bombing in the north of the capital, Kabul, in which 15 people were killed. In that incident, we understand a suicide bomber was trying to get inside a polling station when police stopped him from doing that. At that moment, he blew himself up, killing people who were around him. But having said that, for all the tragic loss of life that there was, by Afghan standards, this wasn't a particularly bad set of days. Many people had feared that there would be a lot more major attacks. I mean, I've been reporting from Afghanistan for the last year and a half, and some of the attacks that we've seen in the last few months, for example, have seen 50 people being killed in one single attack. And we didn't see anything like that. So from a security perspective, certainly there were people who were killed. There were attacks. People were, in some cases, prevented from voting. We already knew going into these elections that a third of all polling stations across the country were going to have to remain closed because of security concerns. But these elections were more peaceful than many feared they would be.
Are they considered democratic by the electorate because of the attacks and the threats and many of the problems we just outlined?
Well, in Afghanistan, a lot of people are quite disillusioned with politics after years of violence and of corruption. Actually, though, being in Afghanistan over the last week or so, there were a lot of people who were also quite optimistic at times because they felt that in these elections, unlike in previous elections, a number of the candidates were young, were from professional backgrounds, were well-educated, and people felt that they were in a position to offer Afghans some real political change and move away from a kind of system of politics that's dominated by ethnic factionalism and by old warlords. Having said that, there has been a lot of criticism within Afghanistan of delays that occurred during the election process. A number of polling stations didn't open on Saturday or opened late, so voting had to be extended into Sunday. While I was at some of the polling stations, people would come and tell me that despite having registered, they couldn't find their names on the voter lists. There were also problems with a new biometric voter verification system that was introduced a little bit at the last minute, really. It's designed to prevent people voting more than once, but because it was introduced so late, a lot of the staff, it seems, weren't particularly well trained in how to use it, and that helped contribute to the delay. So there has been a lot of criticism of the organization of these elections.
You mentioned a lot of the younger, more educated candidates that are running. I'm wondering, are there any themes, are there any common political threads that they share, you know, something that might be resonating with this electorate?
Well, one thing to note is that in Afghanistan, one parliament isn't particularly powerful in comparison to the position of the president. The second is that the political parties aren't really dominant in the parliament. Most candidates stand as independents, even if they are affiliated to political parties, because political parties in the country are often associated with factionalism and struggles for power. So a lot of the people who stand, as I say, are independents. And that means that they can cultivate their own constituencies of support, really. So certainly we saw a lot of people who were former journalists, civil society activists standing, and these were some of the people who voters were quite enthusiastic about. Alongside them, though, there were also a lot of big businessmen. There were the children of former so-called warlords who were standing for the first time as well. So quite a mixed bag of candidates who were standing, and a huge number. I mean, over 2,500 candidates standing across the country in Kabul alone, where I was. There were 800 candidates candidates for 33 seats. So the ballot paper was about 15 pages long. It's kind of looked like a newspaper, really.
And there were about 400 women who ran among those candidates. What can you tell us about them?
Exactly. So that's not actually that different a number from the number of women who ran in the last set of parliamentary elections. In 2010, there were also around 400 women who took part in those. But as I say, there were a number of women amongst these candidates who people are more enthusiastic about. I was speaking to one female candidate. She was just 26 years old, very well-known TV reporter in Afghanistan. And she was saying to me that she was standing because she viewed the older politicians as basically being corrupt and acting like a mafia, in her words. And she wanted Afghanistan to move away from them, as well as the fact that there were 400 women, 400 old women standing. I think around 60% of the candidates were under the age of 40.
And what about the current president, Sukhinder Ashraf Ghani? He's been president for over 4 years now. Does he still have support?
Yes, he certainly does. And in fact, one of the reasons why these elections are seen as so crucial is because next April we'll have presidential elections, and they'll be much more politically significant because, as I say, the Afghan political system is quite centralized. So the president really is the key to the country. And so these parliamentary elections were meant to have taken place around 3 years ago, and they've been delayed ever since, and only just happened now. So these elections were seen as a kind of dry run, if you like, for those presidential elections. People wanted to see, would enough Afghans feel safe coming out to vote? Will the results be accepted? That's another crucial question, because previous elections have been marred by allegations of fraud, and many fear the same could happen again. So these are all key concerns that the people have about the next year's presidential elections, and we're hoping to get some kind of indication from these elections about how it will go.
Sukhinder Kermani is a Pakistan and Afghanistan correspondent for the BBC. Sukhinder, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.